Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Payback by M.V. Vilch. Narrated by Daniel Thomas May. Timeline of Events 2132. The Synths, originally dubbed the Others, invade an isolated planet in the Sol system, populated by a primitive species just starting to venture out into the cosmos. War ensues as humanity scrambles to resist, unifying under EarthGov. 2141. The Sleeks, agents of the Ancients tasked with maintaining a balance between the species of the Milky Way, stick their snake snouts into the fray. They see something in humanity, a high population count and a timeless propensity for war and conflict. They see troops, millions of them. They make Earth a deal it can't refuse, advanced tech, weapons, and improved jump drives, all of which can be bought using the Galactic Credit, a currency that can be earned from them. Treaties and contracts are signed and arrangements made. The Legions come into being, with the Galactic Senate for oversight. 2142. Earth is liberated of the Synths and now indentured like so many others. The advanced tech required to keep the Human Legions a relevant force among the galaxy is proprietary to the Sleeks and is banned from replication. 2183. The Galactic Senate, residing on the now inhabited Mars, is full thrust ahead on their quest to rid the galaxy of the Synths. The three cohorts of Legion Invictus aboard the troop carrier Venator achieve a record-time victory on planet Atlas, prompting a visit from the Legion's legate. She is coming to congratulate the ranks, and one trooper in particular, Jake Adler. Arms and laws do not flourish together. Julius Caesar. Chapter 1. Over the last few days, I'd survived countless horrors. Gargantuan cyclopean monsters, whom the Synths purchased and enslaved, numerous near-deaths, carnivorous moths that peeled a man's flesh off him in a matter of seconds as if he were a banana, and one crazy-as-shit, treasonous centurion who was handing people to the Synths and had been determined to murder me. Fortunately, Centurion Fallon not only failed, but her evil scheme of transferring a noob like me to Gold Squad had completely backfired. I was now a hero of sorts, sitting amidst the brass to meet the exalted ruler of Legion Invictus herself. Did I feel like a hero? Not really. I hadn't gallantly charged the Synth's shield, screaming adulations to the Legion. More like I had butterfingered my own frag, fell into the crater it had blown, then was left with no choice but to run inside the shield if I didn't want to sizzle like a strip of bacon in my armor from incoming fire. Though the chair in Centurion Brave's office was comfortable and the whiskey he poured into my glass satisfying, I shuddered. I thought back to Atlas and my dance with death. I'd skirted the flame for sure. Still, I was happy with my choices and knew I'd make the same ones if I had a redo. I trusted Centurion Paxton, and if his premonition about the Ancients coming out of the shadows was to pass, each and every victory mattered. Now, if only said victory hadn't involved us decimating a chunk of an inhabited planet. That part churned my gut. As disgusting and vicious as those moths had been, they were still civilians, and we'd ravaged their home without a moment's thought. We'd caused more havoc than the Synths themselves. It didn't sit right with me. But as always, no one was asking the opinion of the rank and file. The three Centurions in the office with me, Braves, Fallon, and Paxton, were busy celebrating. Even Fallon slowly but surely recovered from her sour mood and joined in on the conversation, between glaring at me, that is. She was 5th Unit's Centurion, a witchy kind of woman with claws out, hissing and threatening and the like. I returned her stink eye with one of my own. Then I got bored and made it a point to ignore the vile witch. She and I still had one hell of a conversation to get to about her extracurriculars, but not now. Now, I wanted to relax. Upending the rest of my drink in one swallow, I was about to ask Braves for a top-off when every electronic device rattled and buzzed at once. I knew the ruckus could only mean one thing. Legate Moldovi was about to grace Venator with her presence. The mood in the room instantly tensed.
"I think you've had enough,"
Centurion Paxton said, running up to me, grabbing my glass and sending it to slide over Brave's desk as I longingly followed it with my eyes. There were still a few drops I hadn't gotten to. Paxton was my unit's centurion, square-jawed, built like a dump truck, and as by the book as they came. Unfortunately, he was also Centurion Fallon's bunkmate, or whatever strange, twisted relationship they had going on. With an exasperated sigh, Fallon rose from the couch.
"It starts. Time to pucker up, gentlemen. After all, we can't have the legate feeling unwelcome."
She reached her arms up in a long stretch, then, for some strange and unsavory reason, strode in my direction. Clenching my jaw tight in irritation, my head whipped to look away as I pretended to be mesmerized by the deck. Maybe if I didn't look the beast in the eye, it would simply venture past. I wasn't so lucky. A shadow fell over me, and I felt the heat of another body. Suppressing a groan, I glanced up at Fallon's petite form hovering over me, hands on her hips and a disapproving scowl on her face. Basically her usual expression.
"Paxton, I can't wait to tell you I told you so. I can't imagine who thought introducing this one to the legate was a good idea."
Feeling somewhat braver now that the crow had been knocked down a few pegs, I trapped her gaze and held it. "Aw, now Centurion," I said with feigned pleasantness, smirking. "I bet I'm going to make a great impression. You just watch." After all, what better time to play with fire? The woman had blackmailed me into committing treason, and it was time I stood up to her. My sudden bravado caught Paxton off guard. Halfway to the door, he stopped abruptly and spun with a squeak of his boots to study me with narrowed eyes.
"Is there something wrong with you, Adler?"
he asked. I placed a hand over my chest in innocence.
"No, sir. Just ready for this grand event, that's all."
Paxton's eyes narrowed further as they darted between the empty glass on the desk and me in an accusatory fashion.
"You have to be joking." He threw Braves a dirty look. "How much booze did you pour him?"
Braves answered with a hapless shrug while tossing me a wink out of Paxton's view. I resisted a smile. Centurion Braves was 6th Unit's Centurion, an older, cheerful guy with silver hair, a thick Australian accent, and hardly ever without a bottle. He was Paxton's close friend and had refilled my glass each and every time I placed it on his desk without pausing the conversation. Face tight with concern, Paxton rushed to a drawer and tossed me a bottle of water.
"Here, drink this, then let's go. This is no joking matter, trooper. The legate is..."
He paused.
"Well, she's the legate. The boss. Bigger than that, in fact. Whatever deity you believe in, trooper, replace them with her. It's imperative everything goes smoothly."
As I was busy snagging the flying bottle out of the air, a mumbled, "Yes, sir," was all I managed. Braves chuckled in the background.
"The legate likes to make an entrance, that's for sure. Wonder what shenanigans she'll bring with her this time. She's not traveling all this way just to shake hands. Something's up."
Fallon scoffed.
"As long as we're all left out of it, who gives a fuck?"
She eyed me rudely as I slurped my water.
"Disgusting."
Her lip twisted.
"In conclusion, don't fuck this up, hero."
I used my sleeve to wipe the water dripping off my chin, then grinned at her.
"I wouldn't dream of it, sir. But just in case, maybe I can stand by you, so you can show me the ropes."
Fallon's face flushed, which egged me on.
"Perhaps I'll even throw in a good word for you," I said, between gulps. "Foreseeing my potential before anyone else did. Responsible for my transfer to Gold Squad."
"Don't you dare!"
Fallon cut me off with a hiss, her jaw clenched tight enough to crack a tooth. It was all I could do to keep a straight face. And I wasn't the only one enjoying the show. Whereas Paxton was loitering by the door impatiently, waiting for me to finish my water, Braves was still behind his desk, sipping his drink casually as he eyed Billy with admiration. Billy was the stuffed kangaroo with a bullet hole in its head he had in his office.
Apparently the two were mates back on Earth, and he decided the thing should join him in space the only way it could. Dead. Braves chuckled as his attention veered from Billy to watching Fallon and me with rapt amusement. If there was anyone on the ship, in the entire galaxy, in fact, who hated Centurion Fallon more than I did, it was Braves. I didn't know the history there, but I wanted to. I bet it was juicy.
You leave me out of this, you little twerp!
Fallon snapped at me as she glanced between the other Centurions.
Leave us all out of it!
Her gaze froze on Paxton with a demanding expression, but Paxton had no intention of dealing with the trivial matter of my newfound bravado. He was now standing in the hall and brimming with impatience.
All right, enough dilly-dallying.
He swept a hand towards the elevators.
Let's go, all of you. You can bicker later.
Chuckling, Braves obliged, but not before downing the rest of his drink in one swallow and slamming his glass down on his desk. He smacked his lips and hissed with satisfaction.
What was it I said earlier about entertainment?
He threw me another wink over his shoulder as he strolled to the door. Squishing the empty water bottle with a satisfying crunch, I tossed it into the trash and darted into the hall after them. My eyebrows shot up at the unexpected change of scenery. The security seemed to have increased tenfold with both fleet MPs and Marines stationed throughout the hall. I wasn't surprised to see the Marines. Since they were under the ship captain's authority and not the Legion's, it made sense he'd deploy them to protect fleet personnel from the unpredictable sleeping lions that were the Legionnaires. Who knew what kind of wild ideas this legate was going to have or what personal guard or forces were going to be in her posse? We piled into the elevator, and I couldn't help but grin when I saw which option Paxton's finger had jabbed on the control panel, nor could I hold back my commentary. Uncensored words, fueled by intrigue and perhaps whiskey, spilled out before I could stop myself.
We're going all the way up to bridge deck?
I whistled.
I bet they have some cool tech up there, don't they? You think I'll be able to wrangle a tour from the fleet types?
I'd never been on the bridge of a troop carrier before, or any carrier for that matter. After the meet and greet, of course, I rushed to add when I saw my enthusiasm hadn't gone down so well. The three Centurions looked kind of sour. Even Brave's cheery mood had dulled. The three exchanged concerned glances.
Look, Adler,
Centurion Paxton started.
I know you're not exactly, how do I say this?
His eyes flicked to the ceiling, then back to me.
A prime example of discipline. A fact I don't hold against you, considering the minimal training you've received. But I'm going to need you to pull it together, at least for now. Then, after this debacle concludes, you may go back to being...
He rubbed his chin.
You.
The elevator glided to a stop, and the doors slid open to a deck as lavish as the one below, carpeted and with paintings on the walls. The one I could just glimpse from the elevator was of a battle group approaching a hazy orange planet. Instead of exiting, Paxton continued to stare at me.
And I think it will be in everyone's best interest if you keep your mouth shut from now on. In fact, consider that an order. Is that understood, Trooper?
I shuffled in place. How was I supposed to answer his questions when he'd just ordered me to keep my mouth shut? None of the Centurions made a move to exit and continued to stare at me expectantly, even as the MPs posted by the elevator peeked in with curious glances. Deciding it was best not to test Paxton, I nodded silently. After all, the man was right. Nothing good ever happened when I talked. Then all this would conclude, and I'd be free to skedaddle. And who needed a bridge tour anyhow? I had better things to do. I'd find Taylor instead, the cute, green-eyed fleet pilot I started a thing with, and pick up where we left off. Maybe even invite her to spend the night. Satisfied with my nonverbal reply, our group finally exited, and I reluctantly and silently tailed the Centurions down the hall. A turn or two later, we joined a mob of Legion brass and SF officers gathered in an opulent lobby next to an airlock. Springy carpet was under my boots, and the walls were overlaid with a tan marble material that glistened in the bright overhead lights. It even smelled better here, like fresh linen and mint, without a hint of the stale stench of old sweat, entrails, and burnt ozone that permeated the trooper decks. I instantly spotted Tribune Gallus. Chest puffed and uniform immaculate, he stood tall next to a pair of floor-to-ceiling columns embedded into the wall with golden vines engraved into the marble, surrounded by his underlings. He was the highest-ranking Legion officer on board and the Senate's poster boy. Dark-skinned with gallant features, his face was on every Legion sight and recruitment ad there was.
Ah, if it isn't the man of the hour.
He greeted me warmly enough, unlike his companion, who eyed my approach as if I were a smelly dog turd simmering in the sun.
Is there something wrong with him?
Prefect Nero asked, giving Paxton an accusatory glare. Nero was my unit's interim prefect, a rank just below the tribunes. A small, churlish man with sharp features and slitted eyes who viewed ground troops as nothing more than cannon fodder. He must have spotted my wondering eyes and stupid grin as I took in the fancy surroundings. Centurion Paxton wasn't rattled.
No, sir. Trooper Adler is still recovering from his last deployment, that's all.
The transport is here! She's here!
Sounded an unknown voice.
All right, everyone.
The Tribune boomed, slamming his hands together loudly for attention.
Fall in.
Be sure you don't do anything stupid,
Fallon sneered as everyone began moving at once. Still feeling some residual boldness from Centurion Paxton's office, I almost snarked back at her but bit my tongue. My own nerves were somewhat rattled. I wasn't worried, per se, not like the Centurions, but still cautious. I had no idea what to expect. In a cacophony of shuffling feet, the brass fell into place. The SF officers lined up against a bulkhead while the Legion brass formed up before the airlock, the Primus and Prefect ranks in the front, with the Centurions behind. We were all almost in a presentable formation, all except for one man who stuck out like a sore thumb at the end of a row. That odd man was me. Seeing this, Paxton released a little huff.
Dang, the aid coordinator must have forgotten to account for an extra person.
He looked around, debating what to do.
But we don't have time for this. Here.
He shoved me in next to Fallon, then squeezed in next to me, figuring that'd be good enough. But it wasn't. Not for Prefect Nero.
What's all the commotion?
He snapped, glancing over his shoulder. Spotting the problem, his frown deepened, but surprisingly, only for a second. Rushing out of formation with palpable eagerness, he shoved another man into his spot as he himself hurried to join the Tribune in front of the airlock. He was still gunning for his field promotion to be made permanent, and what better way than to present himself as the Tribune's right-hand man? Moments later, the inner airlock door whooshed open, and the arrival of the legate was properly announced. We saluted and remained at attention in dead silence as a stern yet feminine voice filled the lobby.
Tribune Gallus, thank you for your welcome.
Through the bodies in front of me, I spotted a white-suited arm extend towards the Tribune. Curious, I stretched my neck, trying to get a full view of the legate, but the bobblehead noggin of some centurion blocked my way. It even had me wonder if the man required a specialized helmet for the anomaly perched on his shoulders. Not ready to give up, I decided the solution was to lean, but only a tad. That was when something hooked my ankle. Before I had a chance to see what, it yanked, and it yanked hard. Considering I'd been mid-lean, the combination wasn't pretty. With a yelp, I pitched forward to bowl down the unsuspecting men in front of me with a tangle of arms and legs.
You have got to be kidding!
I heard Fallon's hiss from somewhere above me. The lanky witch had hopped out of the way fast enough as to not have been affected by my tumble. Her outrage quickly reverted to glee, and a low, menacing chuckle sounded over the scuffling and grumbling of untangled officers.
And in front of the legate!
She sneered.
The audacity!
I then realized what had happened. Whose foot had snagged my ankle and taken me down? Anger flared within me, along with violent thoughts. I wanted to deck her right here, audience or not. As I scrambled, fervently apologizing to the wriggling, cursing man I'd pancaked, my rage reverted to confusion. The lobby had grown eerily quiet. I could hear the air vents and everyone's labored breathing, but that was about it. Even the man under me took a pause from berating me with colorful choice words, and I deemed it wasn't because he'd run out. Confused, I glanced left and right at the frozen statues everyone had become. Jaws hung low and eyes bulged, fixated on the legate. No one knew how to proceed. I got a strong sense right then that something like this didn't normally happen, if ever. I was leaning towards never. Cautiously, I turned my head to the front. My jaw joined the rest of the hanging ones, but not for the same reason. I now had a full view of the legate, and my eyes grew wide in utter surprise. She was nothing like I'd expected or could have ever imagined. She was tall and slender, nearly matching the tribune's height, with snowy skin and in a shimmering white smart suit that clung to her every curve. I guessed the suit doubled as armor, judging by the force blade actuators mounted on each of her forearms. Golden vines, just like the ones on the Legion's crest, weaved and twisted over the right side of her suit, further accentuating her flawless form. Her black hair was pulled back to reveal golden vines tattooed on her neck. Overall, the mythical woman was runway model gorgeous, and I found myself gawking, probably for much longer than appropriate, judging by the fact that I was the only one still staring. Everyone else had returned to scrambling to their feet.
"Get up!"
someone hissed as a hard kick slammed into my ribs. Wincing in pain, I looked up to see Centurion Paxton's snarling face looming over me. I could tell he wanted nothing more than to kick me again, but instead he reached down and grabbed up a fistful of my collar.
"Unbelievable, Adler. Just unbelievable,"
he hissed as he yanked me up roughly. I barked a strained cough as my collar dug into my neck, but I didn't protest. What excuse could I give him? No one would believe me if I tried to blame Fallon. A centurion tripping a trooper to cause a scene? Yeah, right. They didn't know Fallon like I did. If anything, I'd make a further fool of myself. Everyone had been at attention facing front. All they'd witnessed was me pitching forward like some moronic ape to bowl everyone over. Seething and beet red in the face, Paxton shoved me back into formation. We were all again a neat little rectangle worthy of an audience. However, something told me it was too late. The legate looked anything but happy. Actually, her fine face showed no emotion, but the flames in her coal-black eyes said it all. Chapter 2. As someone who seemed to always find themselves in one mess or another, even back on Earth, I wasn't too worried about the hiccup. At least, not initially. Keeping my mouth shut as per Paxton's orders, I squared my shoulders, eyes front, and prepared to receive the impending ass-chewing I was all too sure was coming my way. How bad could it be? And if they did feel like going all out and throwing me in the brig to teach me a lesson, well, sir, that would be even better. Maybe then I'd finally get some damn rest. So, to say that I was surprised when nothing happened would be an understatement. Nobody called me out, and nobody stomped my way shouting insults. Not the Tribune, nor the Legate. Not even Centurion Paxton made a move to berate me. That's when I became worried. Panicked, even. I could sense something horrible was about to happen. No matter her enticing appearance, the legate didn't strike me as someone who let things slide. With a sinking gut, I steadied my gaze on the woman. Was she considering something worse than the brig? To my surprise, she wasn't even looking my way. Her black eyes were busy scanning over the formation of officers. They stopped on Centurion Paxton, who didn't flinch in response, back stiff and eyes front, then continued their journey to the Tribune. They lingered, but only for a second, before jumping to Nero.
"Primus Nero, currently second cohort's acting prefect. Is that correct?"
Nero, who only minutes ago was chomping at the bit to stand next to the Tribune, looked very much like he was now regretting his life decisions. His Adam's apple bobbed as he visibly swallowed.
"Yes, sir,"
he answered. The row of brass in front of me all tensed as nervous fingers fidgeted by people's sides.
"Then you will be held responsible for the untoward display."
With a casual wave of her hand, Moldovi turned to face her four armored personal guards and snapped her fingers.
"Detain him."
In instant response, two of the heavy-geared troops stepped towards Nero. A bright red streak ran across the left side of their breastplate as if a paintbrush had been swiped over their armor. I knew what that meant. They were Praetorian guards, lieges who had sworn the entirety of their life to their high-ranking overlords, to obey and protect them to their very end. Nero's eyes widened with a hint of panic as the foreboding guards restrained his arms. For a second, it looked as if he were contemplating an escape or perhaps a protest, but he did neither. Instead, a mask of resolve veiled his face, and he straightened, ready for whatever was to come. A lump the size of an asteroid formed in my throat. Though Nero was going along with everything as placid as a kitten, a dangerous, calculating look had eclipsed his slitted eyes. I surmised he intended to blame whatever was coming his way on me.
"The punishment will be carried out immediately,"
Moldovi said without a hint of expression, her words cold and clipped.
"And there's no need to gather the troops. The witnesses here will suffice."
Turning, she led the way down the hall, apparently familiar with the ship's layout. I wasn't surprised. From what I'd heard, our legate had spent the majority of her life amongst the stars. The two guards detaining Nero fell in step behind her as the other two followed. Tribune Gallus hesitated, but then rushed to fall in behind the legate, signaling us to follow with a wave of his head. With haste, the legion officers did as told, unlike the fleet officers that lined the lobby's walls. Exchanging quick F-this glances, they skittered in the opposite direction like rats from a flood. I watched them, envious.
"Not the outcome I'd hoped for, but it will do."
A hiss from my side grabbed my attention.
"Nero! Well, he could certainly use a bolt or two."
I looked down to see Fallon and my fists balled. She'd really outdone herself this time with her petty tricks. Still, I found myself nodding in agreement. Nero was famous for doling out harsh punishments to the troops for the most minor of infractions, and being an all-around jackass, so a zapping was more than fair. Yet the knot in my stomach didn't dispel at that cosmic balance of scales. I didn't need any more enemies on the ship, and certainly not ones like him. During our escort mission on Atlas, Nero had ordered my squad leader to dispose of a lab coat for the simple fact he'd talked back to him. Was that the resolution he'd contemplate for me? Pax hadn't carried out the order, of course, but unfortunately the ship crawled with killers who wouldn't give it a second thought. We followed the legate into a round, stadium-like auditorium with a raised stage set in the center and rows of tiered seats encircling it. My breath caught when I saw what was on it. If Nero hadn't hated me enough as it was, I'd sure as hell bet my life he would now. Like some medieval contraption from a historical documentary, gallows stood tall in the middle of the stage, except instead of wood, made of all metal. Two shackles hung from the upper beam, and it didn't take me long to figure out what was about to happen.
"Is he seriously going to be flogged or electrocuted for a stupid fall?"
I whispered to Centurion Braves as we made our way into the rows of tiered seats. Part of me had hoped that the nerve-wracking march down Venator's halls had been a farce, a scare tactic of sorts. Side-eyeing me with obvious disapproval, Braves released a low growl.
"Well, we are not here to watch a vid. Now shut your gob, and don't make this any worse, kid."
Heeding, I shut my mouth and took a seat between him and Fallon. Paxton also joined us, taking a seat next to Fallon. As he did, he glared daggers at me. I clenched my fists tight in my lap and dug my nails into my palms. It was all I could do to keep my finger from flying to point at Fallon's beak as I blamed her for everything. But an outburst would only make matters worse, for me and for Paxton, seeing as he was my direct commander. Perhaps even for the Tribune. I had no choice but to swallow my rage. The legate didn't waste any time. Before everyone's butts had a chance to hit the chairs, the show began. Nero.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?